the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
And so let's get to music. John Cadell is tonight joined by Dave Hanratty. And let's start with Dave's pick of the week, because I know John has lots of views about it as well. It's the new U2 EP, the one that came out on Friday called Easter Lily. Let's hear one of the songs. Let's hear Song for Hal.
You're not alone.
Okay, that's Song for Hal, part of this new Easter Lily EP from U2, which comes only a matter of weeks after the previous EP, Days of Ash, first new music since 2017. Okay, Dave Hanratty, what do you make of it all?
Yeah, they've really cornered the market in surprise Lenten releases, haven't they? Which I don't think anybody really saw coming, which is quite interesting. I'm conflicted about these recordings, Matt, I must admit. I've seen a lot of kind of people say that they sound revitalized and that these sound like instant classics. I think the biggest compliment I can pay, and it would certainly go to the song that we just heard, Song for Hal, which is dedicated to their late friend and producer, Hal Williner, who died in 2020. This does sound like a U2 song that may have been out there for decades. And you can take from that whether you think it's, should this band move on and be a bit more fresh, or is it just great to hear them sound like themselves again, which I think is kind of the thing a lot of people have been looking for with U2. And for a lot of legacy acts as well, people just kind of want the same but different. I don't know how adventurous these two EPs have been. I think that they've been good, solid releases that kind of remind the world that U2 still have some fire in them. But I do think the reaction to them has been a bit oversung, and I'm curious if John Cadell agrees with me or probably disagrees with me.
Well, I'm all about the melodies when it comes to songs. I'm less of a lyric lover than I am a melody. And the thing that certainly this EP has, even over the Days of Ash EP, is really, really strong melodies on all of the songs. Maybe Coexist is a bit strange and it's a bit of a, you sort of have to sort of put up with it more than anything. But the five songs that precede, I mean, that's the Edge singing Song for Hal, by the way. I mean, he sounds like he and Bono are now symbiotic. That's the Edge.
I actually thought it was Bono.
Yeah, it's the Edge.
Oh,
so,
right.
Yeah, but that's the only one Edge sings. And my first thought when I got to about song three or four was the melodies are just incredible. The melodies are brilliant. We're back to U2 creating strong melodies, which they hadn't always. I mean, songs of Innocence, and even to a certain extent Songs of Experience, there was some weak songs on both of those albums. But of the 12 that now that they've released in the last 6 weeks, I mean, at least 9 of them for me are just very, very strong melodically.
Okay, well, let's hear another one, In a Life.
I'll meet you when you're not there. The shopping list of all you missed. Let's go there. Meet you in the surreal. I meet you in the joy you steal. Stones and sticks, you're kicking the pricks, and still I'm learning how to kneel and what not to feel.
Okay, that's In a Life, John.
Nice nod to the song The Electric Co there at the start with a sort of jagged guitar.
But does that come back then to Dave's criticism that they're sort of just repackaging old stuff.
Well, I don't think Dave said that, Matt.
Well,
think,
I'm implying it a little bit.
Don't imply it, Matt. Don't put words in the man's mouth.
Well, Dave? They are in their comfort zone here, I think it's fair to say. And I think that, the positives here are the melodies and also the cinematic nature of these tracks. They do feel like they're built to play live, which in fairness, we all know that's U2's bread and butter. That's what they do best. And I think even their kind of time in the Sphere probably taught them even something more about presentation. If you could teach U2 anything more about presentation, they always try and innovate in that regard.
So what would that have taught them about presentation? Because what I would have felt a little bit about that, having been at the Sphere, is that even to a certain degree, the performance in the music got a little bit overwhelmed by the visuals.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that is kind of the gamble. And I actually know a sound engineer friend of mine who was there and said that the sound wasn't up to scratch, but in fairness, he's never happy.
Gavin Friday, who was very involved, did tell me that the sound in the Sphere is the best in any venue that he's ever been in. He thought it was phenomenal.
Sound, you know, engineers.
Gavin Friday would say that because he's involved with the band, which is fine. And I have a lot of time for Gavin Friday. But I think when it comes to U2, look, they're always trying to kind of reinvent themselves. They'll always come out with statements like, you know, we're trying to dream it up all up again. You know, they once said famously about one of their albums that it was effectively like a job application to be the biggest band in the world again. I wonder if they do have those aspirations, because while these songs will work for fans, they don't feel terribly forward-thinking to me. And I don't like the production on it, I will say. That's perhaps not their decision, not their fault. The curious thing to me is that Edge has kind of been stressing, this is not an album, by the way. This is two different things. We are working on a new album that will come out. And I kind of feel like they need to do something totally radically different. I don't know if they will.
What's Brian Eno's involvement in all of this?
He produced the last song of the album, Coexist, which is basically Bono's voice through a vocoder and some instrumental backing.
Okay, we don't have that. I was checking there. I was just wondering, how long has Brian Eno been around? He's 77 now.
Oh, he sure wasn't he in Roxy Music in 1972? Yeah. No bother to him. But he's looked about 50 for 50 years. So.
Okay, we'll play one more clip from the new EP, Easter Lily. This is a track called Scars.
You got lost, love. And you found trouble. When you went looking for your life, you got some scars and some others suffer. But you keep on reaching for the light. The doors of your heart will keep open, but you'll
okay, that is Scars. I mean, if I think of a song called Scars, it's by Rush, but that's me there, you see, John.
Mm-hmm.
Out of five, what would you give it as a rating?
I'd give it about a four. And I'll tell you, like Dave mentions them needing to do something radical. I think what they've done, these two EPs, is pretty radical for you too, is they've just gone back to the four of them in a room and pressed record, which is what I've wanted for ages from them.
What would you give it out of five? Dave?
It's a three for me, but I'm being generous.
But it's your pick of the week. are we picking stuff we don't like now?
I pick things that provoke a reaction, John, which you've just done. So there we go, job done.
Oh, you fell into his trap there, John.
There was me taking things at face value.
All right, well, in that case, what's your pick of the week, John?
Well, I've gone for...
Given that you've only gone for something that you really like, well, which is why you picked it.
Strangely, yes. this is another iconic Irish band. Universal Records announced the reissue of the Cranberries' first album, Everybody Else Is Doing It, So Why Can't We, in a big box set, and it's coming out in May. And as part of that box set, they have sort of rejigged a couple of the singles. So there's a remix of Linger and there's a remix of Dreams. And what they've done here is they have got two sort of Latin American up-and-coming buzzy artists to sort of contribute to the remix of these songs. So what you're hearing now is the Spanish mix of Linger, and it features Mexican artist Bratty.
Explain to me, John, is that Dolores O'Riordan's voice in English and then somebody else coming in singing in Spanish?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
In a nutshell.
And is it sort of AI aided or whatever? It sort of seems seamless or what is it?
No, it's just, do you remember like Natalie Cole did an album where she duetted with her dad, Nat King Cole, years after his death? It's just that. I remember the Elvis duets albums that they put out every now and again where contemporary artists sort of fill the bits of songs that were previously sung by the other artist. So it's just like that. They've replaced Dolores' vocal on the track, or rather erased vocal from the track, and Bratty, in this instance, is singing the line in Spanish.
What do you make of that, Dave?
I like it. There's actually a wonderful cover of Dreams by an artist called Fei Wong, so a Cantonese cover of it back from 1994, which went along with a great film called Chungking Express, and I'd highly recommend anyone listening to look that up on YouTube because it's an incredibly different interpretation, but it's wonderfully done, and I think it shows you just how far the Cranberries did travel and how respected they were and still are.
Okay. Now, Kanye West, we were talking recently, John, about how he would be playing in London for three nights at the Wireless Festival, but he's been blocked from entering the UK. Tell us about this.
Yeah, so he's been blocked and the Wireless Festival has subsequently been cancelled. He was due to play to headline all three nights. It's now not happening at all. Reason being that the UK government have refused him an ETA, which is basically a visa to travel to the UK.
Like the ESTA that we get, of course, the United States, they even eat at to get into the UK.
So they've said no because of his previous pronouncements and actions when he said that he was a Nazi and that he loved Hitler. So he's not getting in because they think that his presence there wouldn't be good for the good of the country.
What do you make of that, Dave?
This story is such a headache, and watching it kind of change here today, like I'm working in the Irish Independent office and just seeing the updates every 5 minutes being like, Kanye blocked, festival gone, you're like, Jesus. I just think it could have been all very easily avoided, because obviously we saw a statement from Melvin Benn, festival organizer, last night, effectively saying, calling on the public to forgive Kanye West and to basically give him a chance and kind of trying to reckon with the things Kanye West has said. Obviously we know Kanye West has put out an apology earlier this year and did actually reckon with this as well, and did say, I'm coming to London to put on a show. I'm not looking to extol any kind of negative virtues, et cetera, et cetera. But it's tricky. I think it's the right call because ultimately he went beyond the pale. You can't release a song called Heil Hitler, which he did, and expect to just be welcomed back in with open arms, no problem, when you do your comeback shows. He had an album out recently, but the reality is he's still a massively commercial artist. There's a poster of his new album up in a prominent record store in Dublin right now. I saw it this morning. I myself am a lapsed Kanye West fan. I have heard the new album. I listened to it with some degree of, you know, should I really be listening to this? I just think there's a lot more work to do, and Kanye has said that he will do that work, but we've yet to really see much of that. He is back playing. He played two shows in LA over the weekend, both sold out. There were some big names on there, like Lauryn Hill performed with them. Travis Scott was there as well. So it is interesting to see that some swathes of the music industry have effectively welcomed him back with open arms. Other people, in my opinion, quite rightly, are standing up and saying, we're not there yet. We might never be. And I think to put him as your lead act for a major festival in the UK attended by 50,000 people per day for three nights, it was asking for serious trouble. And serious trouble is what we have.
Okay, I see as well, John, before the British government intervened, but Pepsi and Diageo had withdrawn their sponsorship of the festival. Kanye West had offered to meet with the British Jewish community ahead of the shows. They said they would meet with him, but that he should still also cancel the show. And he did apologise, didn't he? He took out a full-page advert in the Wall Street Journal titled, "To Those I've Hurt."
Yeah.
Is he forever damned if he stands up and said, "I did wrong, I made a mistake, I will never do this again"? Who knows what was going on in his head at the time?
Well, I have to be careful here, but in an era when everybody's talking about take care of your mental health and understand people and be kind, it's a known fact that he had a 4 or 5 month long serious mental breakdown in 2025.
And he also says that he wasn't properly diagnosed until 2023 of a brain injury from a car crash 25 years ago. And that, yeah, he says that medical oversight caused serious damage to my mental health and led to my bipolar type 1 diagnosis.
Yeah, so he is bipolar. I just wonder, I mean, he did take out this full page ad. He has made a full apology in black and white. He has explained what led him to do these things. It is a case of mental illness. He has received treatment for it. He got personal enough to say that he was out of his mind for 4 or 5 months and cannot recall a lot of what he did. Now,
doesn't a lot of people have to take responsibility, though, if they recorded the track with him and if they actually distributed it on his behalf?
And, you know, I will also say I myself am not bipolar and I myself am not Jewish. So there are people far more qualified than me to decide whether or not the cancelling of his concerts is justified or not. I just think he is making a genuine effort and is explaining himself. I just think cancelling his three concerts, what about this Be Kind stuff? What about giving people a second chance when they explain themselves and they show that they've proven themselves and explained what led them to say these admittedly horrific things and to write these disgusting songs. He has had a long, long history of mental illness, and that should be remembered. So if he says that he said these things and wrote these things in a time that he was out of his mind, given that we know his mental health history, is it not time to give him a second chance? But then again, I wasn't personally offended by what he said because I'm not Jewish.
Okay. Dave, yeah.
Could I just add real quick? Sorry, because I think a lot of what John is saying is correct, and I think it's totally fair, and I think we should look at this from as many angles as we can, and we should try and be three-dimensional about these things as human beings. And I will say, in my opinion, Kanye West, someone who I've defended a lot, but there comes a time when you find it very, very hard to do that. And I would say that mental health issues, mental illness, it's not your fault, but it is your responsibility. And the only thing I would take issue with what John said is that there may be people who would think that he hasn't proven, like the word proven, like he may not have proven that he is sorry. He has to do that. And that will take time and that will take effort. And perhaps headlining a three-night festival is not the way to do it. And maybe some people could see this as a reward for, you know, like, oh, you said you were sorry, it's grand. Like, I think there's more to this. I don't want him to be cancelled. I don't want him to be, you know, like stricken and torn out of society. I want the man to get better. I really, really do. And I think the part of it could be taking action and doing smaller things, maybe building up to something. But right now, I think the public just is not ready.
Yeah, I just wonder as well, though, I mean, the people who facilitated him and putting up that single called Heil Hitler, who put up the T-shirts adorned with swastikas on the online shopping platform, other people around him were acting utterly irresponsibly.
Well, superstars are surrounded by yes men. You know, when's the last time anybody ever told a superstar no? You tell them no and you get sacked.
You're sounding like we're talking about the President of the United States of America yet again. We spent enough time on him earlier tonight. We're out of time here with the Music Spot. Dave Hanratty, thank you for joining us alongside John Cadell.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.